Yo, peace. It's your man, Mo Morris, the One Man Army. And welcome strictly to for the brothers. You know, brothers, you know, in life, you know, life can be challenging at times. You know what I'm saying? And when I say challenging, man, and when I say challenging, I'm talking about like your day-to-day can be challenging. You know, like you come home from a long day and you be tired, right? You move tired. You really can't think straight. You tired, right? And then you can barely eat because you so tired. You just can't wait to get into bed and you lay down and it is what it is. You tired. Same thing can be said all throughout life. We all have moments in life where we feel like we want to give in and we want to quit and things like that. What I'm learning is the more success you have, and the more mature you become, you have less of those wanting to quit feelings. Because when you get to a certain point and when you cross certain levels and certain thresholds, quitting ain't even an option no more. You know what I'm saying? It's a powerful place to be, man, when quitting ain't an option no more. Now you talking about some independence, man. Get to a place in your life where quitting ain't even an option. You don't even waste that time and space in your head anymore because quitting ain't even an option. You know, some of y'all still got quitting as an option in your life. It's certain things that you will quit at. But see, when you start taking in stock in your time and the individuals that you hang around, you'll have less of those issues. I cut off a lot of dudes that I really was close with in my life, G. And it was one of the best decisions of my life. Man, you got to get to a point in your life, family, where you cut off dead weight. Or you cut off anchors. People that's just holding you in place. People that view you in a certain way. People that want to keep you in a certain place because that's how they used to you being. Not saying that you wasn't that dude back in the day, but you don't got to stay that dude. You know, you got to get away from bad decision makers. Why would you want a bad decision maker around you? I mean, really think about that for a minute. If a person makes bad decisions, that means the bad decisions that they make sometimes, I ain't saying all the time, but sometimes that bad decision maker, bad decision can impact you in a bad way. Right? Right? Bad decision maker. There's no reason on God's green earth that you should find yourself with a bad decision maker within your circle. I don't care if it's your mama. You got to get bad decision makers out of your life. You got to stop allowing bad decision makers so much access to your life. And if you don't know how to separate yourself, stop answering the phone every time they call. That's how to start with. Start getting involved in things that take up your time. How about that? But brothers, we have to stop allowing people who have a negative spirit, a negative attitude, negative decision making, negative outlook. They hang around negative people. Everybody they talk to, they ain't got nothing good to say about. They ain't got nothing good to say about their life. We have to get away from negative people and their negative ways. Ever since I got away from people like that, man, I'm soaring. I done took off, man. I changed those dudes, and it was a host of them, right? I changed those dudes for one or two dudes, man. I got teammates of mine in my life, family, that love me. You got to have people in your life that love you, family. You got to have people in your life that care about you, family. You got to have people in your life that you are valuable to, G. And that's how you do that, man. That's how you do that. If you want a better life, you got to get better people around you. Period, point blank. Man, my life has gotten so much better because I got more genuine people in my life. And I got all the posers out my life. And I'm talking about some of these cats I'd have known 20 plus years. I'd have been through things with these homies. But them homies are in different places than me. They live in life in a different lane than me. And you know what, family? You know, we be like, oh, man, you shouldn't judge nobody. That's a foolishness. Yes, you should judge people. Sometimes you got to put the black robe on, family. And why not? We talking about your life. You should be judgmental when it comes to the people you have in your life. You should be judgmental to the people you have in your home. You should be judgmental with the people that you share your dreams and your goals with and your plans with. You should be judgmental about that. You should be judgmental about the people you allow around your children. You should be. If you're not using judgment when it comes to protecting your future and protecting your family, you are not living life securely. You're not. You're living life like a ignorant adolescent boy who thinks Santa Claus is real. You got to secure your life, fam. You got to secure your future. You got to protect your future. How can you protect your future if you're not judgmental? Come on now. When you move around through our society, you judging everything. You judging all your moves. You judging the people you sizing up. Hell, when you see the police, you judgmental. Whether you walking or driving. Come on now. Come on now. Let's don't be so naive, man. Let's don't be so naive, man. Let's don't be so naive, man. When it comes to securing our lives and securing our future. Do you understand, brother? If you have a positive life, your child is more than likely to have a positive life. If you have success in your life, that success is going to rain down on your children. On your family. That's just a fact. How could it not? But if you have a negative life and a bad life, that can rain down on your family too. That can impact your family too. Yes, sir. So we have to be judgmental, man. Man, the only way to success is having successful decision making. The only way to failure is to have failure decision making. To make decisions that lead to failure or to make decisions that lead to success, that takes judgment. You have to weigh the scales. You got to size up situations. You might have two good things in front of you, family, but you got to realize and size up which one would be better for you. And the only way you can realize what's best for you is understanding what it is that you want to get done in your life, in your future. That means you got to sit down and think. Once again, brothers, if we want to have success, we have to have a successful mindset. If we have a successful mindset, then we have a successful approach. Brothers, if you're not approaching situations with a successful approach, family, how in God's name can you have success? If you're walking in the door with a successful approach, that means your goal, your destiny is success. But if you walking in the room wondering who you are and you don't know if you got backbone or wishbone and all this, that, and the third, man, how in God's name can you have success? Success and doubt don't go together. Success and doubt don't go together. And don't confuse being nervous with doubting yourself. Man, everybody get nervous, family. Everybody. Everybody get nervous. And nervous is not a negative thing. Nervous is a positive thing. Nervous means you're excited. Nervous means that you understand that this is a different time and a different moment, and it's an opportunity for you to do something that you've been working to do. Being nervous is energy, family. What I do, man, before I perform, man, I can be nervous. And I'm not talking about a nervous wreck, man, but you about to stand up in front of people. You about to share your gift. You want to make sure you don't spit on nobody in the front row. You know what I'm saying? You know, you want to make sure you on your square, man. And you know, the more you prepare, the less overtaken by the moment you will be. You know what I'm saying? If you prepare yourself, family, you ain't going to be looking. You know, you ain't going to be up there super shook. You not. Now, you're going to be, you know, you're going to still have some nervous energy. But, man, what you're supposed to do with that energy, family, you're supposed to, what I do with it when I perform, I make sure I put that energy into my voice. So I'm making sure people hear me when I rhyme or when I speak. You understand what I'm saying? I make sure I put that energy into my smile because I got a nice smile and I want them to see my smile. I put that energy into my confidence because I move in my strength. And when you're moving in your strength, you're moving in confidence. And if you're moving in confidence, you can't be more powerful than that. Brothers, we have to make up in our mind who we are going to become. Period. You know, there's a point in your life where your life becomes your responsibility. You know, some people say it's 18, you know, when you become legally grown. You understand what I'm saying? But I don't think it's 18. I think you become responsible for your life when you make up when you make up in your mind where you want your life to go and you're willing to behave in a manner that's going to get you there. That's when you take over your life. When you realize that your decision making leads to the success or failure that you are in direction, which you are headed in that direction. That's what happens. It's your decision making. Once you realize that you are responsible for where your life is headed, that's when you have responsibility of your life. And there's no age on that, family. There's no age on that, family. There's no age on that. Once you start behaving in a manner that is going to take you in the direction that you want your life to go, you are now responsible for your life. And understand this. And when I say responsible, I mean you in charge of it. You can be like, man, I'm still at the crib, Mo. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But you can be trying to do your most. If you still living at the crib, you know what? You still under your parents' roof, under your mama roof, your daddy roof, big mama roof. I get it. No doubt about it. But you go get you a job. If you're 16 years old, you can get a job. You go get you a job and you start paying for your own phone bill. That means you're responsible for your communication in life. You start paying for your clothes. That means you can buy what you want. You can get the shoes you want. Ain't nobody talking about how much something costs because it don't matter. You paying for it yourself. You understand what I'm saying? You stack your bread so you can pay for your graduation fees. That means, hey, man, your education, you've taken control of that. You paying your bills. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you contributing to the groceries. You know, because you one day you're going to have to pay bills anyway. So the sooner that you take responsibility for your life is when you're going to be responsible for your life. And ain't no age on that. Ain't no age on that. You know, brothers, I want to talk to you about something today, man. I want to talk to you about your second win. Your second win. You know, when I was growing up, man, when you exercising and, you know, I was at football practice one day, man, and man, I was breathing real heavy, man. I was going hard. And my coach was like, man, you just got to wait on your second win. It's going to come to you. And I understood, you know, it kicked in and I understood what he was talking about when it kicked in. But I'm not talking about that second win, family. I'm talking about literally your second win. I'm talking about your second win. Everybody can win one time, G. You know, you remember Ray Allen. He played, he was drafted by, let's say Ray was drafted by the Milwaukee, I don't know. He played for the Milwaukee Bucks. He played for the Seattle Supersonics. No, the Seattle drafted Ray Allen. Y'all don't even know what Seattle is, but there was an NBA team called the Seattle Supersonics back in the day. Their colors was green and gold. They had Sean Kemp, Gary Payton. They was cold. I believe they drafted Ray Allen. Ray Allen went on to play for the Milwaukee Bucks. Ray Allen won in Milwaukee. You know he can hoop, nigga. Then he went on, he played for the Boston Celtics. You know what I'm saying? He won a championship in Boston, matter of fact, you know. Then he went on and played for the Miami Heat. Won a championship there, you know. Ray Allen, a bad boy. You know what I'm saying? So he liked to play golf. So he was playing golf with Michael Jordan one day. And, you know, he was feeling good, man. He had He had won his championship. It was his first championship, and he was happy, man. He was out there swagged up. Not disrespectful, but, you know, he was swaggy. He was feeling good. You know what I'm saying? And Jordan, in his cocky, always trying to be competitive self, he told me, say, man, you won one. That's good, but win another one. You know what I'm saying? Jordan putting it to him right there. You won one. Right on. You won one championship, but win another one. Solidify the first one. You know what I'm saying? And brothers, I want to talk to you about your second win, family. Your second win, family. First of all, what you're going to have to do, brothers, is you're going to have to realize what was your first win. What was your first win, brothers? Because we all victorious, family. We all victorious in one way, shape, fashion, or form when you really think about it, family. You know, we all have our own sense of victory, family. Yo, you know, it could be how you win in sports. It could be how you carry yourself with the women. You know, it all depends on what's valuable to you when it comes to victory. You know, I would have to say my first true victory, family, was when I graduated from eighth grade. That was mine. I had to pass the Constitution, and I went from a public school of the hood to a magnet school. I had to graduate from a magnet school my eighth grade year, homie. Where I went to school at the eighth grade math book at Cook School, where I went from kindergarten to the beginning of eighth grade. The eighth grade math book at Cook was the seventh grade math book at the magnet school I went to called John H. Vanderpool, homie. That's why I realized that there was a unfairness in education. That ain't right. That ain't right. And I know this for a fact, homie. Man, it blew my mind when I saw the eighth grade math book at Cook in the seventh grade math room, G. Now, what part of the game is that? And I had to overcome that, and I had to win, family. It was easy to feel like I was behind somebody because of that, but I didn't care. Homie, I was focused on graduating. You understand what I'm saying? I take on all challenges, man. I don't care. But I'm built like that. My first victory was graduating from eighth grade. My second victory was getting a football, being recruited by every college in the country, family, and getting a football scholarship. And why was that my second victory? Because I had to do more than anybody to get that, homie. They don't pass out Division I scholarships, homie. You got to earn them, family. And I did that. And I was told I wasn't going to be able to do that, family. Like I said, I took on all challenges, family. So, brothers, I want to encourage you. What's your second win, family? Because once you saw that you can win twice, you a winner, homie. You a winner, homie. Your second win might have been 20 years ago, family. But do you remember it? Do you remember what victory feel like, family? There's no better feeling than winning. Nothing. There is no better feeling than winning, family. There is no better feeling than winning, family. But see, losses are needed, bros. Losses are needed because you're going to learn from the loss, family. You don't learn more than you learn from when you failed. You don't learn more than you learn when you fail, family, when you lose, because there is a lesson in the loss. And the thing is, the fact that you lost, that means your attention is going to be at high alert. You're going to pay attention to everything because you don't want that feeling of losing no more, family. And that's why a lot of us quit, family, because we feel that we're going to lose and we don't like the feeling of losing. And we know what it feel like to lose. We all know what it feel like to lose, family. And some of us has lost more than others, family. But the reason you've lost more than you won, family, because you haven't taken the time to learn from the losses. Because the victory, your future victory is in your current loss. I say that again. Your future victory is in your current loss. If you pay attention and really dissect the loss, and look at yourself and see where you need to improve and see where you need to get better. Because see, brothers, it's all about you when it comes to your life. I ain't talking about your mama life. I ain't talking about your homegirl life. I ain't talking about your homeboy life. I'm talking about your life, and our lives are centered around, guess who? Us. You can't run from that. We run around here foaming at the mouth, blaming God for stuff. But what did you do in your situation? Huh? You know, brothers, sometimes we get too far ahead of the game. You know, if you feel you're a loser, that means you feel your future is full of defeat. So you're not going to be excited about your future because you're going to think your future is the same old thing. And that's being defeated. And guess what? You're right. Because if you believe your life is full of defeat in the future, guess what? That's exactly what your future going to be, full of defeat. Because that's what you believe your life is going to be. See, nobody is more powerful when it comes to your life than you. You can tell me the king of the clan live next door to me. And he got meetings every night. That don't mean nothing, family. That don't mean a doggone thing, family. They can meet every night. Long as they ain't knocking on my door, messing with me, and I got to pull that thing out on them. Because I ain't going. But that's not going to stop me from going to school. That's not going to stop me from going to practice. That's not going to stop me from studying. If I sit in the house because the king of the clan stay next door to me, I'm harming myself. I'm saying that the king of the clan got more control over my life than I do because I'm going to sit in the house because I'm scared. Or I'm going to be quiet when they meeting. Man, I'm going to play my music and I'm going to do it what I do. Because when you want to win in life, family, let me tell you what comes with winning, family. What comes with winning is accepting all challenges. You got to accept challenges to win in life, family. There is a challenge before you get to greatness. There is a test you're going to have to pass to get to greatness, for the door to open, for the drawbridge to go down, for the force field to be lifted, whatever you want to call it, family, for the God to get from in front of the door, however you want to see the situation. You are going to have to overcome something to receive something. You're going to have to overcome and defeat to be promoted, period. Everybody in the game ain't been in war. Everybody in the game ain't played on no big time sports arena. I get it. But everybody that been to school, family. And if you passed and graduated from school, that means every step of the way you had to overcome a challenge because there was a test waiting for you. I don't care if you didn't take a test all semester, quarter, whatever. There was a test in the end waiting on you, family. Everybody know what I'm talking about. There is no success without defeating the challenge. And your test was a challenge when it came to school, family. And every teacher wasn't passing out multiple choice tests, family. Some people you had to write the essay. Some people you had to write the answer, family. It all depends on the mindset of your teacher. I had a graduate teacher tell me one time. He said, you know, I know the class is feeling challenging. And, you know, he stood in front of the class and he told everybody, he said, I'm trying to trick you. He said, I'm trying to trick you. When it came to our test, I dropped that dude class, man. I dropped his class. I was in graduate school. I dropped his class, and the reason I dropped his class, he'd be like, oh, Mo, I can't believe you acquitted. We take on all challenges. You know, in that situation, family, I was paying for grad school, G. I was paying for grad. I'm talking about my money, because I'm the one that got to pay back the loan, right? Right? I wasn't paying to be tricked by my teacher. So, you know, the teacher approached me, William, I was so surprised you dropped my class. And I looked that white man in his eyes, and I wanted you to understand what color he was. I looked that white man in his eyes, and I told him, I said, I'm not here to be tricked. I'm here to be taught. Period. Family, that's how I'm moving in my life. That's how I felt in that situation. Some people could have felt a different way. But man, if I'm giving my time and I'm studying and I'm reading and I'm doing this, that, and the third, and this man is trying to play, you know, games with my education, I ain't got time for that. And that's where my understanding was. That's where my line was in the sand, family. And see, I know where I'm trying to go, and I ain't got time for that. So if you want to sit up here and play games with my education, I don't need to be around you. That's a bad decision to stand up in front of the classroom where I'm sitting at and make a statement like that. Once again, you got to be judgmental when it comes to protecting your future, family. You got to put your black robe on and decide, hey, man, he or she can't be over here. I don't need to be over there. I need to be here more. I need to talk to this individual more. You got to be judgmental when it comes to protecting your future and building the life that you want to live, family. It's no doubt about that. You can feel the way you want to feel about it. But family, if you sit back and you think about it, you will realize that this is straight up and down legit. Your second win. When was your second win, man? I gave you my second win. It was like eighth grade was my first win. Freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. 4 years later, I got my second win, family. 4 years later, I ain't talking about, oh, I got with such and such, or such and such went on prom with me and all that. Come on, man. I'm talking about the big time stuff, family. My mind, I didn't know when I went into high school that it was possible for me to get a football scholarship, a football scholarship to a big time university, family. Wasn't nobody around me. I didn't know that until I went to CBS. That's when I saw cats getting football scholarships, and praise God for them. But I was like, if he get a scholarship, my God, what am I going to get? You understand what I'm saying? That's when that world was opened up to me. That's when I saw I could take responsibility for my life, because my grandma couldn't send me to college, homie. I was going to have to take out loans and this, that, and the third. But when I found out that my football playing ability could get me in college, homie, because all I was thinking about was the league, G. Homie, I wasn't watching college football. Nah, I ain't going to tell no lie. Nah, I really didn't get into college football. I like college football, but I really didn't get into college football, family, until high school, right? Right? That's when I really got into college football. But before the NG, I was all about that NFL, boy, watching them Bears every Sunday, homie, and watching that Monday Night Football every Monday, homie. And I'm talking about, this was a time, family, where you wasn't no NFL red zone on, homeboy. It was, you would get three football games a week, G. I would get the Bears, and the Bears was usually on Fox. And then you would get the Channel 2 second game, which was normally a West Coast game. And back in the day when the 49ers was killing, you was always getting the 49ers game, and they was murdering somebody. So that game would be over real fast. And then next thing you know, you watching the Fall Guy. You understand what I'm saying? Then you had the Monday Night Football game on, which was live. And then that's where you would get to see the highlights from all the other games, because it wasn't no cable. You understand what I'm saying, family? This is the life I lived to get to where I wanted to get to when it came to football. I loved football that much. I soaked up football. I collected football cards. I lived it. That's what I chose to become. And I protected it. I was always playing football. I was always playing sports. Always. Because I was going to be an athlete. And I knew it. And I prepared myself for it. And I was determined to become that. And I wasn't going to let anything or anyone stop me. So I was very judgmental about the people I hung around. If they wasn't on that, if they was on gangbanging, I was moving the other direction. Because gang fights got you suspended. And I knew I needed a clean record to get in some school. I knew fighting and gang banging and not going to class and flunking, I knew that wasn't going to get me where I wanted to go, family. But I made the decision not to be that individual. And I want to encourage you, brothers, to find your second win and stack on top of it. I don't care if your second win was 36 years ago, family. You look back at your life and you find the victories in your life and you build on those victories, family. And you make up in your mind where you want your life to go and take yourself there. Be encouraged, family. Be encouraged. Know that you are a winner. Let's stop accepting defeat. I'm talking about accepting defeat before you even get on the field to play, family. Before you even walk in the building to go to training, family. Before you even go to class, you feel you ain't going to be able to do it. You feel it's too hard. You feel you ain't going to have enough time. Well, guess what? You right. And you right because that's how you taking your mindset and that's how you thinking about yourself and your abilities and your capabilities. And that's what you think about your future. You think your future is full of defeat. How can you win if you feel you're going to lose? That has to be removed from your life surgically. And the way you remove that is mentally making up your mind who you're going to become. The way you remove that is you begin to write things down and you begin to visualize and you begin to talk to yourself, homie, and answer yourself. Because all you got is you, family. Quit looking for somebody else to give you the encouraging words, family. Find them words. Look up leadership. Look up self-discipline. Look these things up on the internet and get to learning and get to putting yourself through a 12-hour course where you're looking at leadership for 1 hour every day for 12 days. I guarantee if you do that, your mindset will change. And you do whatever you need to do. Crack a beer, roll a blunt, do whatever you need to do. Do a line, whatever. But put yourself in an atmosphere where you are receiving the things that you don't have. If you don't have a victorious spirit, start listening to victory. Start listening to winning. Start listening to winners. If you like basketball, you got dogged cut on Kobe. Kobe all over the place talking about how he the black mamba and this, that, and the third. If you like football, cut on your favorite, cut on a football player and listen to them talk about winning. If you like this, if you like certain individuals, man, if you like somebody, if you looking up to somebody that then won, family, they got a story to tell. And that might inspire you. You have to be inspired to change, homie. If you've been around the opposite of what you're trying to do, family, you got some people you need to get away from, but you got some people you need to find to listen to. And with the internet, family, you can listen to anybody talk that's worth listening to. So, family, let's go search and dig deep to find what we need to find to become who we need to become to be victorious in our future. And let's stop accepting defeat and putting defeat in our future. Because if you're putting defeat in your future based on how you see yourself and how you see your life, there is nowhere in the world you can win if you're planting the seed of defeat. Hear me when I say that. Brothers, we have to be encouraged. We have to be strong. We have to have our mind made up. We got to put a plan together, brothers. You can't do nothing without order and organization, family. A failure to plan is a plan to fail, period. Period. Brothers, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be victorious. And I want you to know that you are a winner. But also know this, family. If you don't believe you're going to win, if you believe you're going to lose, guess what? You're right because you believe it. Whatever we have our mind on, whatever we pursue, whatever we believe, that's what's going to happen. Your mind is so powerful, family. Your mind is so powerful that whatever is on your mind, whatever thoughts are in your mind and that you're focused on and that you're concentrating on, guess what? Those things are going to come to you. So put your mind on victory, family. Put your mind on success. Put your mind on being the ability to change. Put your mind on having courage. Put your mind on being tough. Sometimes, bros, it's just about being tough enough to keep going. Family, you from the inner city of anywhere, you tough enough. Brothers, if you got black skin, you tough enough. If you come from a black mama, you tough enough. Hear me when I talk to you. Be encouraged. Have victory on your mind. And victory will be in your life. If you have victory on your mind, victory will be in your life. Peace. I'm your man, Mo Morris, and thank you for listening to Strictly for the Brothers. Peace. What up, Chicago?